We've been talking about various aspects regarding tefillah. So what's the halacha when we talk about numerous different kinds of distractions, of interruptions that take place in the middle of Shmona Esrei? What is the status of that? Now, as we know, Shmona Esrei is the highlight, it's the pinnacle, it's the hallmark of our davening. That is the crescendo, so to speak, of everything we lead up to is the Shmona Esrei. And because of that, we consider Shmona Esrei to be something which is more serious and more severe than other parts of tefillah. So as we mentioned the other day, to do remiza in the middle of Kriya Shema, we mentioned from the Gemara in Yuma, even just to make a hand motion or to wink with your eye to give a message to somebody else in the middle of Kriya Shema is not permissible, and the Acharonim say even for a Dvar Mitzvah it's a big shaila whether you're allowed to make some sort of wink in the beginning of Kriya Shema. Now tefillah, which is more serious and taken with a more intense degree of severity than any other part of davening, we assume that Shmona Esrei, certainly one would not be allowed to make any sort of hand motions to other people. One is not allowed to make eye motions to other people. A person has to be very careful to pay attention and to concentrate during the tefillah of Shmona Esrei. What about when a person, you know, every once in a while you meet someone who decides to daydream in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So they're not having any particular interruption. They're not saying any words in the middle. They're not interrupted with anything else, but they're just focusing on something outside of the Shmona Esrei. So you just have a break in the middle of Shmona Esrei. That's just a silent break. You're not saying any words. Your mind is somewhere else, and you're not paying attention at all. And then you wake yourself up, and you come back to where you were up to. So what's the halacha in a case like that? Or you take, for example, every once in a while you have a hatzalah call in the middle of shul. Somebody faints. Somebody faints in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So people turn around. People are watching. People are seeing. And then we get back to where we're up to once the hatzalah is taken care of it. So now, I waited all that time. I didn't do any sort of hepsik. I didn't walk anywhere. He was being taken care of, the person who fainted. But I interrupted just by watching, and I wasn't saying the words of Shmona Esrei. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in a case like that it depends. If you are shaha kedei ligmar eskula, if you wait the amount of time that you could have completed the entire Shmona Esrei from beginning to end, then we assume you have to be chozer l'rosh. You have to start over the Shmona Esrei from the beginning once again. However, if you just made an interruption and it was not enough time that you could have said the entire Shmona Esrei in that time that you were watching the Hatzalah call, then we assume that you can continue wherever you were up to. So, the Yerushalmi asked the question, how do you determine what's Kedei Ligmar Eskula? It depends who you are. Some people daven an 8-minute Shmona Esrei, some people daven a 2-minute Shmona Esrei. So how do we judge what's considered Shaha Kedei Ligmar Eskula? What is considered a person waiting enough time that they could have recited the entire Shmona Esrei from beginning to end, the entire Shmona Esrei? How long is that? So the Shulchan Aruch says it depends. Kafi HaMispalel, it depends on the individual person. If you normally daven Shmona Esrei for 2.5 minutes, so then if you make an interruption for 2.5 minutes in the middle of Shmona Esrei, that would discredit your Shmona Esrei. You have to start again from the beginning. But if you're the kind of person that waits, that daven Shmona Esrei for 8 or 9 minutes, something longer, so then the measuring stick for you would be longer as well when it comes to the halacha of waiting in the middle of Shmona Esrei. What about if a person interrupts? Yeah?
Why is Shmona Esrei more strict than Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is the Oraisa, it is non-Kriya
Shema. Kriya Shema is the Oraisa, but Tefillah is Tefillah. We assume Tefillah is probably also mid-Oraisa, right? The assumption is?
We assume maybe, but Kriya Shema we know, and Kriya Shema has a man which you have to cut off with.
Right.
And Shmona Esrei is not the case.
Yeah. It's a good question, but I think the assumption that the Gemara gives is that Shmona Esrei is something that is our asking for life. Shmona Esrei is what we hang on our lives on. If we don't have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we don't have a venue to express ourselves and everything that we need, that would be a terrible thing. So therefore we assume that Shmona Esrei is the intimate conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shmona Esrei is a time when we are actually in a conversation with him, and that's why it's more severe, it's more serious than the Kriya Shema itself. I think your question is a good question, but I think the Gemara assumes that the Shmona Esrei is something that is the hallmark of the tefillah, more so than the Kriya Shema itself. Even though Kriya Shema is the Raisa and Shmona Esrei might not be, but still the assumption is that Shmona Esrei is considered more severe. So what if a person interrupts not just with waiting, with spacing out, with daydreaming, with watching the Hatzalah call, but rather you interrupt with speech in the middle of Shmona Esrei? Let's say I mistakenly talk to somebody next to me in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So what's the halacha there? Or you would never talk to somebody else in the middle of Shmona Esrei. That's not what we're describing. What if I do some sort of speech that's not supposed to be inserted in my Shmona Esrei? So, for example, I got all confused. I've been saying Zachreinu L'chaim for the last who knows how many tefillahs, because now we're in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Now, the next day, I mistakenly also insert Zachrein L'chaim when I wasn't supposed to say it. Or I say Yalav Yavo. I thought today was Rosh Chodesh and I made a mistake. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. So I said Yalav Yavo instinctively, but it was a mistake. So what's the halacha in a case like that? So there the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. If a person makes an insertion or speaks out in the middle of the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, you go back to the beginning, you start all over again. So if you say Zachrein L'chaim, you go back to the beginning. If a person makes a mistake in the last three brachas of Shemona Esrei, for example, you say Yalav Yavo where you weren't supposed to, and now you continued, so the halacha is you go back to Ritzeh, you start over. Because we assume the first three brachos and the last three brachos are a separate unit on their own, and therefore if you mess up at some point in the middle of them, you go back to the beginning of the unit. What if you make a mistake in the middle of one of the middle brachos of Shemona Esrei, and you insert something that you weren't supposed to say, Aneinu or Nachem or something of that nature? So in a case like that, we assume you go back to the beginning of that bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch assumes. There is a fascinating discussion that the Achronim have. What if a person in the middle of Shemona Esrei, sometimes you hear old Europeans that say, Heilige Bashefer, right in the middle of Shemona Esrei, they cry out, they say something that doesn't belong. It's not part of the Nusach of Shemona Esrei. So I did see that some Achronim discuss it. It's interesting. Reb Shlomo Kluger has in the Elef L'cha Shlomo, that's his Tshuva Sefer, he says, there were many people in his generation, Nog Banenu, who in the middle of Atah Gibor, in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, in the middle of the first three brachas, they would say, Lebedikar Gott, Halfuns, we want you to help us out. So he wants to know, is that considered a hafsaka? Is that considered something that would now make them have to go back to the beginning of the Shemona Esrei? Or do you say no? They're saying it in the context of a tefillah. That's like inserting a Yehi Ratzon in the middle of Rifa'enu. That's like inserting a personal bakasha. So over here, I'm also making the Shemona Esrei a little bit more personal. So maybe I should assume that that is not considered a hafsaka. So this is what I thought was a fascinating discussion. Various achronim discuss it. They come to the conclusion that, look, l'chatchila, that's probably not the right thing to do. We don't just start throwing words into the davening. We assume the Anshei Knesset Gedola set it up in a way where everything was included in the original nusach of the Shemona Esrei. However, if a person does so, they all write that there's no reason to go back to the beginning, because again, this was just thrown in, not on purpose, it was thrown in as part of a person's emotion. The same way some people cry in the middle of Shemona Esrei, some people raise their hands in the middle of Shemona Esrei, so some people say some of these words, but it's really part of the context of the Shemona Esrei itself. It's a chiddush, but it's an interesting chiddush nonetheless. What about sometimes you have somebody next to you who you would never want to motion to them in the middle of Shemona Esrei because motioning, as we know, is not permissible. And you would never talk to them because certainly talking to them is a hefsek, you're not allowed to do that. So you want to write something down on a piece of paper in the middle of Shemona Esrei to give them a message. So are you allowed to do that or not? So we know that the halacha is generally ksiva kedibur dami. We know that generally we assume if a person writes something down, that is synonymous, that is the same as speech itself. So do we carry that through and say over here as well when it comes to tefillah, the same way I'm not allowed to speak in the middle of Shemona Esrei, so too perhaps I'm not allowed to write as well in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. So that is a discussion that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld raises, and he thinks, well, the halacha always is ksivur kedibur dami. We know that writing is always considered like speaking, and therefore if speaking is not permissible, so writing is not permissible either. I did see, though, the Aderis, the father-in-law of Rav Kook, has a sefer called Over Oreach, which is a very fascinating sefer. It's a whole sefer that he kept a diary of all the Talmidei Chachamim who passed through his community, wherever it was, and he would always have discussions with them and learning various topics, whatever he happened to be thinking about at that time. And he wrote down in this diary all the conversations that he had with all the Gedolim that were passing through the neighborhood. So it was a very interesting sefer because, first of all, it's on so many different various topics, so many different issues. But also, he chose to talk to them about issues that were not run-of-the-mill issues that he could have figured out on his own. He chose to talk to them about different kinds of things. So he writes the following. The Aderis writes in his diary, Bishuvi mi Vilkamir lebesi, when I returned from the town of Vilkamir, I don't know where that is, to my town of Panevish, Avarti derech Ilgabrad. He says, I passed through this town, whatever it was, and we realize it's time to daven Ma'ariv. We have to go out of the caravan, out of the wagon. So he gets off to daven Shemona Esrei, to daven Ma'ariv. And I was afraid, Pen Yisaha Agalon. I was afraid they're going to leave me stranded here. I had more kavanah than everybody else. I was davening a longer Shemona Esrei, and they're all going to continue traveling. They're going to forget that the Aderis was on the wagon with us. I paid for the trip. Lachain, he says, Kasavti be'eit al Nair la'agalon. I took out a piece of paper, and I wrote on a piece of paper to the wagon driver not to forget to leave me behind. Masharitzisi Lamar. I told him whatever I had to say. I wrote it down. I wouldn't talk to him in the middle of Shemona Esrei, but I wrote it. Vishalani Echad, and somebody there asked me after I was finished, Ay, habi hefsek haksiva. Don't we say ksiva kedibur? So what right do you have to start writing notes in the middle of Shemona Esrei to pass it to somebody else? He says, vehishavti, and I responded to him, diksiva lo habi hefsek. That even though we assume ksiva is kedibur dami, but over here by Shemona Esrei, there's no reason to say that ksiva would be considered a hefsek. Now, of course, doesn't mean you should pass notes about things that are not relevant or things that are not important or things that are not a dvar mitzvah. Over here, he was obviously very concerned that something was going to go wrong, that they were going to leave with Adam and he'd be stranded. But stam to pass notes in the middle of Shemona Esrei because, you know, you're acting childish because somebody else wants to know something about you or you want to know something about them, that's not a good enough reason. However, the Ishei Yisrael, which is a very beautiful sefer on Hilchos Tefila, writes that he asked some modern-day poskim, and they agreed with the same thing, that obviously a person lechatchila should not do it, but if you go ahead and you write something in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you don't have to go back and repeat the Shemona Esrei again, even though we assume ksiva is kedibur in the abstract, but when it comes to Shemona Esrei, we don't assume that that's a hefsek that would make you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei or go back. So what should a person do if they're in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei, and they hear the chazan is up to Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu? So shouldn't that be the same? How am I allowed to answer if we know that talking in the middle of Shemona Esrei is not permissible? So how am I allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu? Or maybe I should say, well, this is Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. This is a very important part of davening. Maybe even in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you're allowed to break to go ahead and do that. So this is a discussion that the Shulchan Aruch has. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Ilchos Tefila, Simen Kuf Dalid, that you do not stop in the middle of Shemona Esrei to answer the Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. However, the Shemona Esrei, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you should stop the Shemona Esrei and just listen to the Chazan reciting the Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. And the Acharonim already asked, I don't understand, Mimad of Shach, if you're going to say that Shomea Ka'ona, that you're going to listen and that's considered like you're saying it, so then isn't that the same as saying it? So why should I be okay by listening to the Chazan who's reciting it? Either it works or it doesn't work. If it works, so say it with your mouth. If it doesn't work, what am I gaining by listening and just thinking about what the Chazan is saying? So my father once told me over, in the name of the Mazricha Magid, and I saw it this morning in the Buchacha Rav, it's a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, has in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Now, it's hard for me to imagine that the Vilna Gaon really said this. Sounds more like a Mazricha Magidvart, but either way, it's an interesting idea. What is the difference between listening and actually saying? The answer is like this, because the Gemara says, Machshava Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzarfa Lamaisa. When a person has a good Machshava, Chishiv lasos mitzvah v'nanas bo. Let's say a person wants to do a mitzvah. I'm thinking, I want to do. This week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wants to do the mitzvah. So, even though he's not able to, the Ribbono Shel Olam counts it as if you've done it. Machshava tova mitzarfa l'maisa. It's as if you've done the act itself just by thinking about wanting to do the mitzvah. Machshava ra. What if I think about doing an aver, but I don't actually do the aver? I say, I want to go eat something treif tonight. I want to do something that I'm not allowed to do, but I don't end up doing it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Just a bad machshava, that's not considered like you did the act itself. Just thinking about eating treif is not considered like you actually ate the treif. So the Mezricha Magid said over here, that's the same idea. Yes, with regard to answering the Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu machshava tova, Kaddish Baruch Hu Metzar for Lamais, it's as if you actually said it. It's as if you actually had the Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. With regard to a hefsek in the middle of Shemana Esrei, machshava ra, ena Kaddish Baruch Hu Metzar for Lamais. So here you are in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you're listening to the Chazan recite Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu, and somehow it's not considered a hefsek, but it is considered as if you've just answered Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. How can that be? The answer is because on the one hand, there's a Machshava Tova that is counted as if you've done it. Same way we always assume that Machshava Tova Kaddish Baruch Hu Metzar for Lemaisa. On the other hand, when it comes to the Hapsaka, to the break in the middle of Shemona Esrei, that's considered a Machshava Ra, and therefore that would not be considered a hefsek in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. So even though we know that one is not allowed to make hand motions, one is not allowed to speak, one is not allowed to do all different things in the middle of Shemona Esrei, however, it's clear in the Achronim, it's clear in the Poskim that if a person has something that is bothering them in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and the only way to take care of it is by doing some sort of hand motion or something of that nature, one would be allowed to do so. So you take, for example, the Achronim, right? What if you have a child who comes to shul, and the child trips over a chair, and now the child is crying, and you can't daven, you can't have kavana while the child is screaming on the floor, or while someone else's kid needs a lollipop, whatever, they're nagging at your talus. So in a case like that, the Achronim write clearly, you're allowed to pick up the child, go outside, take them out, calm them down. Chazon Ish even writes, you're allowed to take the child to the bathroom. If the child needs a bathroom and the kid won't allow himself to go and is going to scream until the father takes him. So in a case like that, says the Chazon Ish, even though I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei, I'm allowed to do so. Why? Because again, that's being mafriya, my kavana. That's not a hafsaka for any other reason. The reason I'm being mafsik now in the middle of my Shemona Esrei is that I should be able to continue to daven. So a hafsaka litzarech hakavana, that would be permissible. That's number one. Number two, they say as well, if you happen to be the rav of the community, and it's bothering you that everybody's waiting for you for Shmona Esrei, and you're not to have proper kavana because it's always on the back of your mind, you're nervous, maybe they're waiting, maybe they're not, so you're allowed to make a hand motion to the chazan that you should go ahead, even though hand motions are generally not permissible in the middle of Shmona Esrei, but over here, since it's disturbing your kavana, you would be allowed to do so. And the Achronim go so far as to say, if you're embarrassed to make a hand motion in the middle, you're even allowed to take 3 steps back in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, even though you're in the middle, but you're allowed to take 3 steps back in the middle of Shmona Esrei in order to motion to the chazan that they should go ahead without you. The Mishnah Berurah writes as well, what if a sitter or a sefer falls on the floor? Every once in a while it happens. People are always looking. I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Should I pick up the sitter? Should I not? So the halach is you're not supposed to pick up the sitter in the middle of Shmona Esrei. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're the kind of person that is so disturbed by the fact that there's a sefer on the floor, which I think most of us would be, and every minute that you look out of your sitter, you're just so disturbed by the fact that there's a sitter on the floor and you can't concentrate properly, in a case like that, the Mishnah Berurah writes clearly that you're allowed to go ahead and pick up the sitter, even if it's a few feet ahead of you, you're allowed to pick that up and bring it back to put it where its proper place is. The Mishnah Berurah writes as well, if a person's talus falls off in the middle of davening, Mishnah Berurah writes you shouldn't go back and put it on, but if it's going to be so embarrassing and so bothersome to you that everybody else in the room has a talus and yours fell off and you're not going to be able to concentrate, so Mishnah Berurah writes, in that case, you would be allowed to do so. The Chayyadam adds another caveat to this, and he says, what if a person in the middle of Shmona Esrei realizes that they don't know the halacha? Let's say I forgot Yalav Yavo. I'm not sure, am I supposed to repeat Shmona Esrei or not? I don't know what the halacha is. I forgot Masha Baruch, and I don't know. In the back of the room, they have all the rules posted on the wall, or they have a sefer in the back of the room that I'll be able to look it up. So now, Art School did us a favor, it's in the back of every sitter. But back in the days, before they had the wonderful Siddurim that we have, so they had to go to the back of the shul, find the Mishnah Berurah, find the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and look it up. Says the Chayyadam, in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you're allowed to walk to the back of the shul, look it up in the sefer that you have to, or even ask the rabbi in the middle of Shmona Esrei. You're allowed to have a conversation with the rabbi in the middle of Shmona Esrei, assuming the rabbi knows, you're allowed to have a conversation with the rabbi to discuss the issue, because again, that's something that's pertinent to your Shmona Esrei. You're not making a hefsik for any other reason, you're making a hafsaka because you want to have a proper Shmona Esrei, and that's the only way to do so. So I remember my father, there was once a Talmud in YU, who was a very nervous kind of person, and this person used to always, everything was a Shiloh. Somehow everything was a Shiloh by him. So I remember the middle of Shmona Esrei one time, he walks up to my father and he asks him a Shiloh. He forgot something, he added something, I don't know, so he walked up to my father, and he asked him the Shiloh, so my father gave him the answer. He said, you do have to repeat, you don't have to repeat, whatever it was. So the guy starts to argue. He says, no, but the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chayyadam says, he starts arguing. My father said, the heter that the Chayyadam gave is only to ask the Shiloh, it's not to argue with me. So that's what he said. He said, that's a hefsik, that you're not allowed to do. But to ask the Shiloh, you're allowed to, as long as you assume the rabbi knows. So over here, I did see that Rabbi Avadia Yosef writes something, and with this we'll close. Now we'll take your question. Rabbi Avadia writes something interesting. He says, Mikan Tochachas Megula Levnei HaTorah V'Yodei HaSefer. He says, we learn in yeshivas, and we're all considering ourselves like Yodei Sefer. We know a lot of different things. We all know Baba Kama. We're learning the Daf Yomi. She'ena Mishananim Halachos Tfila Karoi. We're learning Baba Kama, Bab Metzia. We know all the wonderful things, all the lumdas, and everything there is to know, but we don't know Hilchos Tfila properly. V'oskim Etalmud B'dvarim She'ena Metzuyim. We're dealing with sugyas in Halacha that are totally irrelevant to us. They never come up in the day-to-day life that we live. V'kulu tenuye b'nezikim v'kachim. We're all learning all the fancy sugyas in nezikim and kachim. V'ilu ilchas tefila brachos shabbos emad yisrael hamatzuyim me'or. But when it comes to tefila and brachos and shabbos and yomtiv and everything that we have to know on the tip of our fingers, because these are things we have to know right away, lo raglu al lashonam. Unfortunately, we don't know them. Ube pesa pisam yikam to the beis hasafik. And that's why now that I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei and I forgot Yalav Yavo, all of a sudden I don't know. Oh, should I make a hapsaka? Should I not? Should I repeat? Should I not? These are things we should know, says Rabbi Avadia, more than the Baba Kam and the Baba Metzia. V'lo yadu v'lo yavinu b'chashecha yishalocha v'yikashlu b'yisuri b'racha levatel. And because of that, we'll get stuck in a b'racha levatel. And because of that, we're going to get stuck with being mechal Shabbos. He writes by Bishogig, obviously, but he says, we're going to get involved in all these problems. Therefore, he suggests, l'chein, kal aram b'yira, anyone who has some yira shamayim, yasa b'das, you should make a calculation, l'ilmod u'lishane in hilchos ha-metzuyas. We should make sure that we carve out a time that we learn all the halachas that are very pertinent to life and things that come up all the time. Ladas ma'yasa Yisrael, in order that you should know what to do if you have those kinds of scenarios that arise. You know, the Stipler has one fascinating shiloh where he says, We know the Gemara says that here is kedibur dami. We know if a person thinks, it's also considered like he spoke. So he says, so I don't understand. Anytime you have somebody who's daydreaming in the middle of davening, how many people really pay attention from the beginning of davening till the end and don't focus on anything else? Almost no one. So he says, if you say here is kedibur dami, why don't you also say that we should assume over here? It's as if you spoke in the middle of Shmona Esrei. That's here is kedibur. That's what we assume in all other areas of Shas, so we should say the same over here. Anyway, interesting shada to think about, but I think Rabbi Avadia's warning that he gives us, his message that he gives us, is a very important one. Yeah.
If you make one of